Norfolk Life. This is BBC Radio Norfolk.
Live from our studios at the Forum in Norwich, this is Tea Time with Matthew Gudgeon. Our top story at 5, the Prime Minister visits Norfolk to launch a new mental health report, despite the county having one of the worst performing mental health services in the country.
People have been very complimentary about the staff at the Trust, but obviously an intense package is being put in place to work with the Trust. But actually, mental health isn't just about what the National Health Service provides.
The Prime Minister has been in Norfolk today to launch a new programme of support for people with mental health problems. The focus will be on caring for people in the workplace, making sure they can raise concerns and get help at an early stage. She gave more details at a building site in Old Buckenham.
This costs tens of billions of pounds for companies, but of course it's also important for individuals. And 300,000 people a year actually lose their jobs because of their mental health problems. We need to address this. Government will start with NHS England and the civil service. That will cover 2 million employees. We'll be ensuring the support is there. I want other employers to do so too.
Well, John Franklin works for the Norwich-based insurance company Aviva, and he says with the help of his employer, he helped to manage his mental health problems.
Aviva did a fantastic job. You know, it was about me getting better, so there was no pressure on me to come back to work or anything like that. The focus was on me recovering, getting back to full fitness again. So I did have regular contact with my line manager, but there was no pressure to take calls. If I didn't feel like taking a call, I didn't have to take the call, but they were always there.
With Radio Norfolk, this is Tea Time with Matthew Gudgeon. Norfolk has the only mental health service in England to be in special measures. The service was criticised as inadequate in a rating by the Care Quality Commission earlier this month. So why did the Prime Minister choose Norfolk today to highlight a new initiative which recommends how employers should help look after the mental health of their workers? Theresa May was visiting the Morgan Sindall Builders as they worked on a new school at Old Buckenham near Attleborough. The company do have a good reputation for dealing with employees' mental health. And while Mrs. May was on the site, she spoke to Radio Norfolk reporter Bob Carter.
Prime Minister, you've come to the place in the UK with officially the worst mental health services in the country. Are you here to apologise?
I'm obviously understand what has happened in relation to the local mental health trust. I think what's important is that CQC's role, one of the roles we've given it, is to regularly monitor these trusts so that action can be taken where the services being delivered are not what they think are appropriate, and that's what's happened here. What I also know from what CQC has said is that people have been very complimentary about the staff at the trust, but obviously an intense package is being put in place to work with the trust. But actually, mental health isn't just about what the National Health Service provides. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm here at a building site for a new school with a company who have been taking this very issue very seriously among their workers. And the report that has come out today, the Stevenson Farmer report, is about how employers create an environment in the workplace such that people feel able to talk about their mental health, that employers are more aware of mental health issues and know how to deal with these so that people can be more comfortable in their workplace.
Now, I don't disagree that mental health should be taken seriously in the workplace and dealt with accordingly, but the TUC tell us that 3/4 of people with long-term mental health problems are unemployed. Tomorrow, the CQC brings out a report into children and young people's mental health, which tells us that there are up to 18 months waiting times for children needing mental health treatment. Neither of those groups of people even have a workplace. Are you either missing the point or trying to distract from the real issue here?
No, the whole point is this, that actually if we're going to deal with mental health, if we're going to ensure that mental health is given the same attention that physical health has been over the years, we need to address it in all environments. That means, obviously, in terms of what the NHS provides, we're putting record sums of money into the NHS for mental health provision. We've announced that we'll be employing more mental health healthcare professionals in the NHS over the coming years. But we also need to address it in the workplace, in schools. We need to ensure that those people who come out of the workplace, who are unemployed as a result of their mental health problems, are actually given help and support. One of the things the Stevenson Farmer report has come out with today has shown that in any year, I think 300,000 people come out of the workplace, they lose their jobs as a result of their mental health problems. That means what happens in the workplace is so important to prevent that from happening. But we were also working in schools. I have ensured we're putting in place gradually a mental health first aid training for teachers and staff in schools so that every school will have a member of staff who's trained to both be aware of the signs of mental health problems but also know how to provide support for young people when those mental health problems when they're alerted to them.
The Prime Minister on a visit to Norfolk this morning. So how big an issue is it for employers to look after the mental health of their workers? The government says 300,000 people a year leave their jobs due to mental illness. This costs companies up to £43 billion. John Franklin is a manager at one of Norfolk's biggest employers, the Norwich-based insurance company Aviva, formerly Norwich Union. And John Franklin's been sharing his story with our reporter Mike Liggins.
It was about 2.5 years ago, and I kind of got up in the middle of the night, and I was sick. And there was no sign of any bug. It certainly wasn't food poisoning. So it was all a bit strange, really. And then I got up the next morning. I didn't go to work because I'd been sick in the night. I thought that's probably the best thing to do. Got up the next morning, and I was sick again. I was like, okay, it still doesn't feel like a bug, but I'm not really sure what's going on here. So I took the next day off work. And then the following day, I got up, I wasn't sick, so I thought, right, what I'll try and do, I'll try and do some work from home today, as I haven't been sick, but I still don't feel 100%, and I just looked at my emails, and I couldn't focus on them. I literally couldn't focus on them, couldn't read them properly, couldn't take any of the information in, so I thought, right, something is definitely wrong here, I need to see the doctor. So I went to see the doctor, and I was signed off with anxiety, straight away.
When he diagnosed that, what did you think?
I was shocked. I was genuinely shocked because I just thought, just rest up, you'll be fine. I genuinely didn't think there was anything wrong with me. To be honest with you, I thought, well, you know, why would there be anything wrong with me? I've got a nice life, I've got a good job, I've got a great family. Why would I be stressed? Why do I have anxieties? I've got nothing to be anxious about. But clearly I had. It was a massive shock to the system when I was told that.
And to what extent were you able to share the diagnosis with friends and family? Because that can be an issue.
Yes, and it's part of the issue that I have. I don't necessarily talk about things, and this came out during the course of, you know, my recovery. But actually, I think when there was a diagnosis and I realised there was something wrong, it made me more open about it, and I was quite comfortable to talk about it because I realised it wasn't a problem. Because before then, I would have felt just like a bit of a charlatan, really. It's like, well, there's nothing wrong with me, so why am I sick? But because of that, because it was a diagnosis, it did help me actually be open about it and talk to family and talk to work about it as well.
And so how were the company able to help?
Aviva did a fantastic job. In the initial point, you know, it was about me getting better. So there was no pressure on me to come back to work or anything like that. The focus was on me recovering, getting back to full fitness again. So I did have regular contact with my line manager, but there was no pressure to take calls. If I didn't feel like taking a call, I didn't have to take the call. But they were always there, and they said they were always there for me. But they paid for me to have some counselling sessions, which really did help a huge amount. It helped me to get the crux of the matter of what the issues were and help manage it. And then when I came back to work, I had a staggered return to work, which meant that I didn't come back straight away full time. I was able to work a few hours during the first couple of weeks and build it up to the point where I was actually fully fit and mentally fit and ready to go back to work full time again.
And presumably, you know, you're extremely grateful for the support, you know, that you've received from the company.
I do. Without that support, I don't really know what might have happened. Obviously, if going through the NHS, it might have been a very different process. I think the chances are, if I hadn't had the counselling, I probably would have been prescribed some medication. Fortunately, I wasn't prescribed medication. But yes, if I hadn't gone through that process, that probably would have been the next step. And yeah, it would have been a very different outcome, I suspect.
John Franklin, who's a Norwich-based manager with Aviva, speaking to Mike Liggins.